pleasure to invite a predecessor of Edinburgh Elam Church, former pastor of Edinburgh Elam Church, Pastor Michael Epton, to come and to share God's word. Pastor Michael was the pastor at Edinburgh Elam Church when it met in Georgia Fourth Bridge. He was here from the early 80s to almost the mid 90s, and many folks speak very highly and fondly of Michael. Michael has served Elam for decades and decades, has held high office within Elam. When he left Edinburgh, he became the regional leader, regional superintendent for Elam churches down south. And so for those of you who would be familiar with Elam, you think of Pastor Kevin Pete, who we know and love in this church. Well, Michael did his job down south, and a wealth of ministry and experience, a really good Bible teacher and preacher. You don't get so many folks turning up to see you 25 years later unless you did something right back in the day. Either that or they you owe them money. You know. So, Michael, could I pray for you just as you come? It is so good to have you with us this morning. We're looking forward to hear what the Lord might want to say through you and do amongst us this morning. So, Father, I thank you for this man of God, this senior man within Elam, this man of God who has served you faithfully down throughout the years. His life is testimony to the goodness of God. And, Father, I thank you that he's here this morning. I thank you that he's got a word to share with us today. Father, it's not just random, or it's not just by chance. He may have come up to be part of a family wedding, but Lord, we're believing that he's come with a word for us today from heaven. Something that might challenge us, something that might stir us, something that might help us develop and grow in our relationship with King Jesus. And Father, I just pray your blessing on my brother. I pray that you will use him this morning, Lord, that he will speak your words into our heart today. I pray and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. God Amen. Bless you.
Good morning. It's great to be back in Edinburgh and to be able to share and see so many familiar faces. Some we haven't seen for a quarter of a century. How the years fly. However, God is good. And we just love that we can share and we can come back here and feel totally at home. Different building, nice seats, don't go to sleep. But in real terms, of course, it's the privilege of just being amongst the children of God and to be able to share and know that he is here in a very powerful and wonderful way. This morning, I'm looking at the days in which we live. And the question really is, are these the days? Now, what I mean by that is that Jesus said, in those days, this will happen, that will happen, this will happen, something else will happen. And then the coming of the Son of Man will happen. We live in a world that's full of confusion and destruction. All around us, there's problems of different kinds. And I'm not here to make you feel sad or bad, but I am just dealing with the reality of life. What we know is these things which people find out to be so difficult to understand today, even using our modern communications, which are in some cases the worst, most awful thing that's happened, because they're misused and abused. And we know that this isn't always the way we want to live. But here's the point. In these days, we are preparing for the moment when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will come back into this world, when he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow to him. Amen. We know that there, if you look at the devastation in all the parts of the Middle East, where there are certain groups that are determined, because of their eccentric view, to destroy and to totally remove any evidence of Christianity, of Israel, and so on. And they think that that's their life's job. And in the course of all that, we see tens of thousands of people being made homeless, people die, and there's just an awful sense of evil. We don't have to be out there in the Middle East to see the destruction that will happen in people's lives. For here in our world today, right here in Edinburgh, there's an ongoing story of lives that have been damaged and ruined by the enemy of our soul. But this we know, and there will be some scripture at some point coming up that will just, and they're only there to cue you in. They're not there to make any real difference to me. I'll probably forget what I've put. But the important thing is this, that we know there was a promise that was made by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, when you get home and you're stirring the gravy, you can have a little read and remind yourself of what it says in the Bible. I like people to be able to take a note or just do something so that you've got something to go back home and you can check it out for yourself. Matthew 24. However, I'm going to read a scripture first and foremost from Acts 1 and verse 6 to 11. And if you've got a Bible, which I'm sure you will have, though we never know these days, because some people have them on the phone. I'm never sure whether you're texting or whether you're actually reading the scripture, but there we are. Acts 1. And when we look at this scripture, you'll see something very, very special. This is Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, meeting with the disciples, and he's there on Mount Olivet, and these are the words that are spoken as he gathered there. He said in verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times and dates of the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And here we are in Scotland. It's not quite the end of the earth, but it's close. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go." I have to tell you, I know it's not good news, but Jesus isn't coming back to Edinburgh. It's not on the agenda. He's coming back to Israel. He's coming back, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, but not straight away. In Matthew 24, verse 7, it tells us that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginning of the birth pangs, the beginning of the pains in our world today. And you might think, well, yes, that's all happening. Well, of course it is. But the word there, which is key, it's in various places. In the time when the Savior said this, there were very, very few earthquakes. There'd never been anything significant of any content. But now, there are earthquakes everywhere. There are famines everywhere. There's destruction of all sorts in our world today. Nation is against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It's all happened. So, if some people are looking and they're thinking, well, Jesus won't come back yet because of, be careful. Be very careful. Jesus said in verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you. Doesn't want you to listen to the people that say, oh, it can't possibly happen yet. I'm going to tell you something. There is no Bible prophecy that would stop Jesus Christ coming this afternoon. If you're ready, you go. And if you're not, you stay. It's a simple truth. But what we know is this marvelous moment that Jesus has promised that he is going to come back again. When I was a little boy, which was some time ago, I was 5 years old thereabouts. I was playing one day on one of those miserable dark days, thunder and all the rest of it, in front of the fire in our house on the carpet, and I got two little cars. It was just after the war, of course, and they couldn't afford anything else. So I got these two little cars playing there. And suddenly through this dark, awful outside stuff, a shaft of sunlight broke through the clouds and came right into the room where I was. I jumped up onto the settee, which was just under the window, and I looked out and I said to my mother, "Mummy, is Jesus coming now?" Well, it was a simple statement. I'd heard them talking about it. It was always a conversation in our house. It was never something that was far away. Nowadays, here we are, 70-odd years later, and we don't talk about it. We kind of just let it be. It's out there somewhere. Don't get too excited. You know, it will, maybe. Well, that little boy, all those years ago, didn't know the Bible, couldn't read, didn't know all the theology, didn't know it couldn't happen because Israel had not yet been formed as a nation. It didn't happen until 48. So Jesus couldn't have come back. But I didn't know that. What I did know was that I'd heard and I understood that Jesus loved me and that one day he was coming back. That was all I needed to know. And you know, sometimes I think we get awfully into the theology of things. We need to know the detail. This is a scripture where Jesus makes it crystal clear you do not need to know the detail. You don't need to know the hour. You don't need to know the day. And there's a reason for that. Because even Jesus doesn't know. He makes it very clear for us in the Word of God. And he makes it very clear that only God, the Father, knows the day. One can see the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to come. And he's just waiting for that moment. They see the turbulence of the world in which we live. They see the awfulness, the wars and the anger. They see the sin and the wickedness in our world. And I'm sure Jesus from time to time is almost ready to, but no. Why is that? Because our Heavenly Father has a compassion for this world that he created to let all men and women know that he is God, that he loves them. He's made a provision through Calvary when his son came and died for them. And he wants them to have time. He's giving us time to get this message out there. The Bible says in Matthew that when all the nations know, then he will come. And I'm telling you right here and now, all the nations do know. There is nothing in the Word of God that would stop him coming now. But of course, it's not going to be easy. Now, you might think, well, you know, we're not out in China where they're under persecution 24/7 and everything's done under God. Or in parts of Asia. We have missionaries out there. We can't name them for their own safety. They're working for the Savior, but it's a very, very difficult world. And right here in beautiful Edinburgh, we think we're safe. I've got some news for you. You're not. There are many things out there that can cause us concern and problem today. And one of them is, of course, the problem with Islam. Now, that is something that really is difficult. And when you read the scriptures, you'll see it talks about the abomination that makes desolate. Think about all of those who feel that they should make everything desolate in the name of Islam. And in the holy place, now, some of you, I'm sure, have been to Israel. I've been privileged to be there, too, and have stood there on the Temple Mount and so on. But when you are there, that temple that's referred to in Ezekiel is a complete new construction. It's totally inverted when you see it actually laid out. It's a different kind of thing altogether. But on that day, when Jesus comes back, in Zechariah it tells us his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, right where he came from. When he went, he's going to come back to that very point. And when he does, the Mount of Olives is going to part north and south, and make that river that was already spoken about this morning will flow from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea. And for the first time, that sea will live. Jesus, the King, coming back into that position, and he will reign. But before we get that far, don't let's get too excited about it. We know that what's going to happen first is what we call the rapture. Now, if you look for that word in the Bible, you won't find it. That's not a word. It's what we call the rapture. How is that going to happen? Well, again, in Matthew 24, it's a good book to read when you get home, as I've said. Jesus is going to come to the clouds, into the outer atmosphere. And when he does, the Bible says his angels will be with him, the trumpet will sound, and they will gather together the elect, the bride of Christ, all of you. If you love Jesus this morning, you're the bride of Christ. And if he came, that trumpet would sound. You haven't got time, by the way, to change your clothes. Ladies, sorry, you go as you are. And by the way, God won't be sending you an email. It won't be on Facebook. There'll be no texts. And despite the President of the United States, it won't even be on Twitter. There's a reason for that. It'll happen faster than any of that communication can take place. What we don't understand so often is that when Jesus comes to the sky, the Bible says every eye will see him. How can that be possible? Well, just think about all those jolly satellites that's flying around out there. Very convenient. But he's going to stay there in the skies. And his glory, his power is so magnificent, it will outshine the sun if that's the side of the world you're on. And in the darkness of the night on the other side of the world, it will light up the skies. That trumpet will sound. And the Bible says, and you read it in Thessalonians 1, Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But in the interim, between where we are now and when we come to that moment when he comes to the clouds, all hell will break loose in this world. It already has started. And the Bible says, if those days were not shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. So he has got his hand on it. And he is waiting for the moment. The Savior is standing poised and ready. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, the third part of the Trinity, is in this room this morning. He was here before you. I don't like people inviting Jesus to be here. It's his place. You don't invite the Holy Spirit to come when he's already here. And if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you had to have the Holy Spirit in you to find salvation, so he's in you anyway. When you walk through that door, it's just a getting together. When you see one another and understand who you are in Christ, and you know the effect that you can have on Edinburgh and all the surrounding area, if you can see yourselves like a little battery, every one of you ready, a little bit of power. And we put you all together and stuff you all together in a big long tube, and we've got a little bulb on the end, and there's a huge brightness because you're all together, supporting and bringing the power of the Holy Spirit to bear that's in your life, in your world, and you will demonstrate this place here today should so shine with the glory of God. The people passing by on the streets should be aware that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is here. The Bible says that as the lightning can be seen when it comes in the east and it can be seen in the west, so it is with the coming of Christ. It will take such a few moments of time. But the Son of Man will come. And he will be there in the glory. I'm looking forward to that day. You can. It's okay to look forward to the day. I can break into a song with "We're a happy lot of people." Yes, we are. If you don't get it. I would to God this morning that we could be happy. And we could be full of joy, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I expect to see some joy. Know that the power of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here to do a work in you and through you. And you don't become a rocking chair Christian. I know people who got saved. And years ago, when I was pastoring in Dundee, I had a lady in the congregation there, bless her, and I asked her to give a testimony, and she said, I couldn't possibly. Why not? My faith is private. Really? Very private. I said, but surely you'd be glad to tell people about Jesus. Well, not really. I get embarrassed. I bless her, I did pray for her. I loved her dearly, but it was difficult. How can you be someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and not want to share, not want to show it, not want to let his glory shine through you, through your life and who you are? But people do. They sit in their Christianity, we got saved, and they can tell me when they got saved. This morning there are people here who got saved when I was in this fellowship, though not in this building, of course. And some of them I even married, and they blame me for all that's happened since. But the fact is that, you know, though a quarter of a century has passed, what has changed as far as the Word of God is concerned? Nothing. What has changed from the fact that we could see those things in Edinburgh there in that church on Joseph Forth Bridge where people were healed and people got saved and people were baptized. And it went on and it was on and on and on. In fact, in that time we were there, over 500 people came to Christ. And there was as many baptized in water, and people went on for God. And they came from many countries, of course, as well, because we had a lot of students in those days. All of that and more. Has anything changed? Not at all. Only the building. He's the same God. We have the same power. We know his glory. And we have a future. And it's not based upon what you see on news at 10. It's based upon the word of God that says one day soon he is coming back again. And we who are ready for his return, we will be like him. Good to know. You're going to get changed. The Bible says your mortality will take on immortality. You will be like Jesus. Do you remember when he rose from the dead and he went and met with the disciples and they were out there fishing and he'd cook breakfast for them? You didn't know Jesus could cook, did you? But he could. He cooked fish. He was ready. And he ate fish. And yet it was the same Christ that came in through that room where they were all gathered and they were all feeling fearful, and he walked through the door. It's that kind of body. Good news, though, you'll look different too. I'm not really this short. I'm a bit taller. And I'm nowhere near this big. I'm quite slim, really. I'm thinking about when I was slim, actually. I don't want to go there. But sufficient to say that we will be like him. We will have that wonderful ability. We will see those things. And we have no idea. Oh, that we could understand just exactly what's going to happen. Now, in Revelation, it gives you a clue, but it's a bit difficult to understand. It is enough to say that when he has come to the clouds and we have gone to join him, and there's no sickness. There's no, we are fit. Praise God. I've got a replacement hip, a replacement knee, my lungs are shot, and apart from that, I'm fine. But when I see Jesus face to face, I'm going to be perfect. I'm not perfect now. If you think there's a halo, it's just my ball patch shining on the light. The fact is that no one is perfect. Whatever we're here on the planet, we're not going to be perfect. Don't try and be perfect. You can't. All you can do is try to be holy. And that means to be like Jesus. It does not mean trying to be perfect. It's not the same thing. If you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ recently, you're a young Christian. You've got a whole life ahead of you in Jesus' name. And I don't mean just in this world, but when he comes again, you will be there. You'll see the glory of God. You'll see all that heaven holds. You'll see all the angelic hosts that we talk about so much. And you'll notice that those people that came to talk to the disciples, it doesn't say they had wings. It just says there were men in apparel. They just take on a form that we can understand. The things that had the wings were the cherubim and seraphim. They had wings. But you know, we don't need wings. When Jesus went up into the heavens, he didn't grow a pair of wings. Remember this just to help you with the technical stuff. The reason Jesus could go up straight up through the atmosphere without any bother was because he had no blood. His blood had been shed at the cross for you. That body would have been transformed. It was touchable, but was transformed. And when we see him, we will see the holes in his hands. We will see where the crown of thorns was pressed on his head. And if we did, we could see where the spear went in his side and the holes in his feet, because there was no blood to heal. It was never healed. When we look at him, we will see those scars, we'll see those wounds, but his glory, the sheer nature of his being, will outshine all of that. There was a song we used to sing years ago. When we get there, we'll wish we had given him more. Well, you will. I will. You will. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. We'll wish we'd given him more. But you know, it's just down to you. Where you are with the Lord Jesus Christ today. What's going on in your world? Are you ready for what we call the rapture, when the trumpet sounds and you would go? And if you wonder how that works, it's very simple. It's like when you see lots of wagons on the railway line and it's got various kinds of steel in it, a magnet comes and it grabs, and those things that are magnetic go and are caught by the magnet and it's moved on. Inside of us, there's a magnet. And when that trumpet sounds and those angels come, we will go. I'm looking forward to it. I trust that you are too. Of course, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have a problem. For if he came today, right now, for instance, many, many, many in this congregation, including the children over there, because they're for sure going to go, the young people out there, if you're not right with God, you'll stay where you are. And then you'd have to face the consequence of how all that's going to happen after that, when the enemy of our soul, Satan, will have jurisdiction in our world. And for roughly 3.5 years, there will be total disaster and chaos. For the Holy Spirit is only here now to protect the bride. When we go, he goes. We don't want to be around to see that, do we? There's only one way to make sure you don't, and that's to make sure that you're right with God. That you are living in his way. That you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. Yes, there's catastrophe. Yes, there's disaster. Jesus said it would happen like that before he comes. He said, but when you see these things, be ready because I will come. Like the lightning across the sky. No notice. He said, you won't know when I'm coming. And as I've already said, as it says there in Matthew, in verse 36, he said, don't ask about the day or the hour. Don't try and pretend that you know, because you don't. We look at the signs. There's a ton of signs. If I was going to be carrying on a preaching this, and I'm going to shut up in a moment, I don't know what time I'm supposed to have closed anyway. I probably should have already shut up. I'm not sure. But I would have gone on to talk about the hope of his coming, the signs of his coming. I would talk about Satan's last stand. I would talk about the king returns and the great white throne. All of those things, and each one of those, by the way, would take at least 45, 50 minutes. So, yeah. But the point of all that is simply this, that just to give you the information out there, to reassure you that one day soon, the king will come. That despite all the trials of this world and the trials of this life, when we get there, we'll be able to say it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Now, I don't know all of you here today. I know some. I'm delighted to say. But I don't know you all. And there's only one person that does here today, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he knows you. And when I use the word knows you, I mean he knows you. Not your persona, not the way you look, not the way you speak. But he knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. And he just wants to love you and draw you to be the person that God wants you to be. That you should be ready for the day when the bridegroom comes for his bride. As I don't know you, I can only ask the question, are you right with God? Are you ready for the day? Please don't be deceived. Many will say, you know, it's not going to happen, or it's going to be extended, this is going to happen. Don't be deceived. Jesus could come today. That moment could be now. But if he doesn't, you need to know that you're getting the best life that you could possibly have. And there's no better life than walking with Jesus. I've been walking with Jesus for 70 odd years. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years old. I know, this isn't fiction, I know that my Redeemer lives. I have seen when I was the superintendent minister down there, my part of my remit was Philippines, Papua New Guinea, India, where our missions and ministries were, and I was over there doing stuff. I saw the miracles happen there, and I came back and I thought, Lord, why can't that happen here? And I'm grateful to God that they do. They really do. We believe the body can be healed. We believe the soul can be restored. We believe your mind can have peace. And I would pray today that all of you have the peace of God and know the power of his Spirit as he floods through your soul. But if you're not ready, if you're not right, then I'm asking you right now that we should all stand. And if you are not ready and you want to get ready and you want prayer, it may be for sickness, it may be because of what's going on in your life, then just come forward. Pastor and I will pray with you, and the team will come, and we will just help you to know the power and majesty of Christ. But I don't want anyone here today to go out of that door without knowing that Jesus is Lord. Just stand, I will pray a prayer. And then please do come forward. The musicians can come forward and play something that would be wonderful. But people, remember, we need to be right with God. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for your power and majesty, for that power that works in our lives today, the power of your Holy Spirit. We're grateful, Lord, that you are an unchanging God. And Lord, even as today I stand here, Lord, talking to a congregation, some of whom I've known for way over a quarter of a century, we know that you are still the same Jesus. You are the same Savior. You are the one who heals. You are the one who moves by your power. And I pray today, Lord, now as people would come and they would say, I need to be right with God. I need to reconcile myself. I need to come back to the Lord, rededicate my life. Whatever it is we need to do, Lord, that we're ready for that moment. And the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, that you would move in our lives. Lord, for those who are sick and need prayer, Lord God, we pray, you will move by your power. Lord, now, in Jesus' name, do a work of saving grace. Be real, Lord God, and may we know your power and majesty. In the name of Jesus. Precious God.